Amen. The Word of God is a sure foundation. It's a sure foundation for what? For life. Amen. So if it's a sure foundation for life, then we should build on it. We should build our lives on it. Amen. And if we're going to build our lives on it, how do we do that? We hide God's Word in our heart. So what time is it? Memory verse time. I apologize. Last week, I forgot. I got busy with what I'm doing, and I forgot to write it down that we need. Actually, you know what? To be honest with you, I take that back. I did write it down. This is even worse. I wrote it down, and I still forgot. I need a secretary. So, we're going to do the same verses. I don't expect you to, if you worked ahead, great. That's great. But I won't expect you to do that. So we're going to do the same verses. So you've had 2 weeks to learn two verses. I know, there's a big sigh. Oh. Did you work on it at all, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You want to try saying them?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's good. You want to be the first? All right, let's do this. How about we do this? Well, we're going to do 1 through 6 is what we can do. But I'll just let you do two verses. You don't have to do all of them if you don't want to. If you want to, that's fine. Okay? All right. Okay, go ahead. The might. Pretty close. You did really, really good. Pretty close. There's a lot of, I will declare thy greatness and thy wondrous works, and it kind of can get confusing. You mixed a few of those up. Not bad at all. Very, very good. Very valiant effort. I appreciate that. It's good. Anybody else? Oh, come on. All right, brother.
I will extol thee, my God, O King, every day will I bless thee. One generation shall praise thy works. I will speak.
Yep.
I will speak.
Okay, good job. Just a couple of those switched around again. I think right at the beginning you said, I will extol thee, my God, or I will bless thee forever and ever, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. It should be. But great job. Excellent. Excellent. All right, some of you younger minds that are just all there and can retain things like some of the older minds can't. How about some of you younger folks? Anyone? It's all right. Okay. Go ahead, sir. Very good. Very good. Just a couple little words here and there. That's great. That is perfect. All right. I'll give one more chance, somebody, before we move on. Nobody is brave enough to do it. All right. Honestly, how many of you actually worked on it? You honestly worked on it hard. Okay. Good. I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't. I'm glad you're being honest. But I want to encourage you in your scripture memorization. I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Every week, we should be working at trying to hide God's word in our heart. And that can come in a number of ways, not just memorization. But that is a good part of it. Thanks for being honest, but I want to encourage you, participate. Join in. You might find that the Lord might actually do something in your life unexpected. Amen? Amen. Good job, everyone, for trying. And let's all read this together. All right? Psalm 145, verses 1 through 6. And we'll do verses 7 and 8 as well, because that'll be our next week's memory verse. All right? So, Psalm 45, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy good.
and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Amen. Those are some powerful verses for this next week. The Lord is gracious and slow to anger, full of mercy, and don't we need His mercy? Amen. All kinds of applications that can be made from these verses this week. So I want to encourage you, work on these and participate with the church. Amen? Amen. All right. Tonight we're going to continue on in our study in worship. And I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, we ask for your blessings on the reading of your word, the teaching and preaching tonight. Lord, I pray that you challenge our hearts with this truth. Father, I pray that you'd make us into what we should be, what we ought to be, and Lord, that we would not settle for second best. Lord, that we would not, because of our own iniquity and our own our mindset not being right, Father, that we would not stray from who you want us to be. But Father, that we'd be striving to be like Christ. Father, we'd be striving to be profitable servants unto the Lord. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we went to Valdez, my first time being there. Didn't exactly know what to expect. Heard things here. Looked at pictures on the internet, of course, and talked to several of you. And many of you said, do this, do that, look at this. And so that was helpful. And so we're making the drive, of course, and it's beautiful, beautiful drive, perfect weather. And we get into Keystone Canyon, and all of a sudden the waterfalls are just everywhere, you know, and it's like you can't take it all in. You're trying to drive down the road and stay on the road, you know, and not hold up traffic and trying to take it all in at the same time. And I found myself kind of going back and forth like this with my head. As my head was turning to look at something, I kind of would turn the wheel. And so anyway, it was great just getting there. And we were kind of at a loss as to what to do right away because our timing was kind of all messed up. So we went and decided that we're going to try to do some fishing. And so we went over to Allison Point and tried to do some fishing there. There were fish everywhere. There were people everywhere. And the fish and the people were not connecting. I mean, the whole line of just car after car. There must be hundreds, probably, people sitting on the rocks fishing. And, you know, we got down there and we got our poles out, and I mean, you could see the salmon just coming right up to the shore, and nobody was catching any fish. Everyone's using the same lures. I mean, you could see these spoons, you know, I mean, on the ends of people's lines, and they're casting them out. And you, I mean, even my girls were out there, like, trying to put it right in front of the fish, because they were, like, coming up to the shore, and nothing. Every now and then, you saw somebody get lucky and pull one out. Yeah. I saw one guy. He caught a big silver, and he had, I'm like, oh, he caught a fish. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't count. Here's the fish, like, gouged in the side right there with this massive hook hanging over it, like, and it was like, that one didn't count. I saw one girl pull, she must have been 15 pounds, that silver she pulled out of there. It was big, and she could hardly lift it. But otherwise, nobody was catching fish, and us included. And I was trying to fish, but I was actually doing more line untangling than anything. My girls were also trying to fish. I'm running back and forth across the rocks from person to person. Didn't get much fishing in. That's okay, though. So then we decided, well, let's go over to the pier and try our luck over there. So I go over there, and I start asking people, you know, any luck? How's it going? One guy said, I've been here since 5:30 in the morning. Mind you, it's like 7 o'clock at night now. I've been here since 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, wow. One fish. I'm like, oh, no. And here are other people who had some, you know, and I wasn't set up right for that kind of fishing because I had to have some live bait, and it was like 12 feet down to the water, and like there's no way I'm getting that up there. So what I figured out was that, okay, people have certain nets that they use, and they just put ropes on them, and they just lower them down, you know, like a basket and pull them up out of the water. So I'm like, okay, I know what I got to do. So I went and got some herring, and this is for the next day, and I was going to get a net, and I picked one out at the Prospector. It was like $30. I'm like, oh, I don't want to spend $30. Like, ah, I live in Alaska. I'll use it. I'll do it. So I was going to go buy it. Well, it's locked up because it's outside. And so I go inside. I'm like, I want to buy one of those nets out there. And she's like, okay. So she grabs the key. Not the right key. She goes looking inside like 10 minutes later. I can't find the key. Well, how am I going to buy one? She's like, well, I called the manager. He's supposed to come over here and give me the key. And I need the key because I'm supposed to lock up tonight. Can't lock up without the key. I'm like, okay, well, I'll wait for a few minutes. Well, meanwhile, my fishing time is out. I mean, the tide's come and gone and people are leaving and so on. So I'm just like, forget this, right? So I didn't actually get to do any of that. I went back over to the dock the next day and threw a line out there once or twice and nothing. It wasn't happening. So we're like, okay, let's go do something else. So we start exploring. And we determined that, you know what, the next day we were going to take a cruise out to Columbia Glacier. How many of you have ever done that? Okay, a lot of you have. That is the most fantastic thing I think I have ever seen. We got on, it was expensive, but well worth it. For the whole family, it was expensive. But it was well worth it. I am so glad we did. We got so many pictures. I have never seen anything like that before. And we were able actually to get within about a mile of the glacier wall, the face, which normally the captain told me they have to stay like 12 miles away, normally. But this year, they've been able to push back in there, and the ice field has been such that they could actually work their way back in there within a mile. And it was amazing. I can't even describe it in words, but I've got lots and lots of pictures. So I don't know if you've ever get a chance to do that. I would say it's highly worth it. And learned a lot about the place. The next time I go back, I want to take a helicopter tour. That will be expensive as well, but I want to do it. They have heli-skiing there. How many of you have done that? I don't want to do that. No thanks. I watched a couple videos on that. I'm like, No, I would make a decision to end my life sooner than I thought if I did that. There's all kinds of great stuff. And we went and did some hiking. Yesterday, we went hiking way back in the canyon. We were looking for this old gold mine that was back there. We couldn't find it. But I tell you, I was telling the car, just plug your ears on this one. I was telling the church that if you weren't in here, that we went hiking, and my wife was all nervous about bears. So I'm carrying a gun, she's packing a gun, and I said earlier that my wife, her whole personality changes when she's got a Glock in her hand. So I was a little afraid of her, I think, actually. She's like, around the bush. We're walking the trail, and she goes, peers around the bush, you know, and she's like, you know, James Bond or something for those bears, I don't know. Not really, she's not. We had lots and lots of fun, though. But one thing that I noticed, I realized, while we were on this cruise to the Columbia Glacier, was that we, as all the people on that boat, our lives were in somebody else's hands that whole time. Especially once we got into the ice field. Because there are massive, massive icebergs, that have calved off of that glacier. They're all floating out in the water. Some are small, but a lot of them are big. And a couple of times, we were bumping glaciers pushing through, and you could hear it, you know, against the hull of the ship. And a couple of times, I thought of the Titanic. And I'm like, we're not going down with this ship, you know. But here, and I was out on the front, you know, looking at all this stuff. Sometimes I was up with the captain, up high in the wheelhouse and just back and forth getting all the experience that I could. And I was talking to him, and there was a couple of times where all of a sudden he got really serious because he had to really pay attention to what he was doing because we were working our way through this ice field, getting as far back as we could, and here he is steering this ship. And if at any time he decided to get lazy about it, or uncaring about it, at any moment, we could have a disaster. It's true. And here he is, he gets super serious, and he's paying attention to what he's doing because he realizes how important his job is. Make sense? And there's never a time when he can just sit back and put it on cruise control and be lazy about his duties, about his responsibility. Because if he did, certain disaster would come. And it's a great illustration, actually, of the importance of being diligent and not being lazy in the Christian life, in our spiritual life. Because at any moment, we could put it on cruise control, but as soon as we do, mark it down, the spiritual life is going to die. And there's going to be certain destruction and disaster. And I want to talk to you about worship again tonight, but we're talking about hindrances to our worship. And the one that we're going to talk about tonight, one hindrance to our worship unto the Lord, is spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness. And I said this last week, but spiritual laziness is a thief that will rob you of your ability to bring honor and glory to God in your life. What do I mean by spiritual laziness? I mean the failure on the part of the Christian to use the means that God has provided to the believer to enable him to see the value of worship and also enable him to grow spiritually. The failure on the part of the believer to be able to see the value of worship and to fail to make use of what God has provided the Christian for spiritual growth. You follow what I'm saying? Does that make sense? The failure on our part to use what God has given to us that enables us to grow. Many don't worship the Lord in truth or truly worship the Lord, or at least worship is limited in their life because they do not grow spiritually. They don't grow because of spiritual laziness. We don't have any excuses. And it is God's plan and God's purpose for His children to be growing in their relationship with the Lord, to be growing in their Christian life. But many people fail to worship God because they don't grow. They don't grow because of spiritual laziness. You know, spiritual growth is not easy. It's not easy at all. And you know what? It doesn't come naturally. Once you're saved, you think, oh, okay, I'm saved now. I'm just going to grow automatically. No, it doesn't come naturally. And it's not easy. Spiritual growth is developed in your life. It's developed by holy energy and determined effort. It takes a lot of effort. And it takes a lot of energy to actually grow spiritually. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4. No doubt you've read this portion of Scripture before, but let's take a look at it and break it down just a little bit. Examine what the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, there's a lot of things that we could talk about in this verse. A lot of people like to use this verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. They use that as an excuse not to do any physical exercise. See? Lord said, bodily exercise profiteth little. And they stop right there. But what is the Apostle Paul saying? He says, you rather, yes, there is some profit to it, and it's for a time. But what's more important? Spiritual exercise. He says, rather exercise yourself unto godliness. That word actually means practice. Look it up. The word means practice. Practice at godliness. You exercise your spiritual muscles, and it takes work. Just like an athlete who has to train for whatever sport that he's playing, he's got to train and work his muscles so that they function for Him so that He can do what He wants to do. Have you ever noticed that your muscles work different ways for different sports? If you've ever played sports before? Like the muscles that you develop to play basketball are actually some of the same muscles that you would develop to play football, but they're used differently. And have you ever noticed that when you train them a certain way, they function that way, and then you go try to play a different sport, and that muscle could be developed, but you try to play a different sport, and all of a sudden it doesn't work quite like it works in the other sport that you're playing. But do athletes just naturally go out there and they just excel and perform? And they don't have to do anything at all to become what they are? No, they got to work. And they got to train. And they got to lift weights. And it hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Have you ever lifted weights before? Like regularly? What happens when you lift regularly? Your muscles build, they grow, right? But what happens when you first start lifting weights? You get in there, I'm going to go pump some iron, right? And you go in there and just work those muscles hard, and about a day later, all of a sudden you start to feel, I didn't feel that yesterday. And then the next day, it's even worse, right? And those muscles are super sore. So you work out, and you get past that, and your muscles are growing, and then you stop. I need to get back to the gym again. By the way, I do. I need to get back to the gym again. And then it's been a little while since you did it, and so you go back and you start over again. Oh, this is easy. I remember this. I can do all this weight. What happens? You get sore again, don't you? All that lactic acid builds up in your muscles, and it hurts. But so does it. The same thing happen in the Christian life. Sometimes to grow spiritually, when you actually start to apply and exercise those spiritual muscles, it's not easy. And sometimes it hurts. Because the Lord is trying to get rid of a lot of things that have grown in and that are in your life that need to get out. Yeah, those muscles need to be trained. And it hurts. And it's not easy. But it must be done if you're going to win. If you're going to win, and if you're going to grow, and if you're going to have victory, it's got to be done. But all too often, people put it on autopilot. Oh, I go to church. I get preaching. I sit through the services. And everything about the Christian life is just on autopilot. And there's never any true striving after godliness. Growth does not develop by lounging in the Christian life or with apathy and neglect. Growth comes by consistent cultivation and training. And then look, a determined application of the mind and of the will. You've got to cultivate spiritual growth in your life. It's got to be something that becomes a part of you because you've worked at it. And then you've got to determine in your mind that you're going to apply it and you're going to obey it, even if it hurts. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, I want you to look at verse 30. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and what? Received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. There is so much truth whether you're talking about physical things, there's so much truth here. But we can also make the application spiritually. The spiritually slothful man, his spiritual life is grown over with weeds and thorns, and the wall is broken down. And you know what? If you're spiritually discerning yourself, it's not hard to see it in other people. And it would do us well to observe it, to look at it, and take instruction from it. I don't want to go that way. When we're spiritually slothful, we start to get the thorns and the thistles of this world and of temporal things that start to overcrowd and take over the spiritual life. Hey, living in Alaska, you know this to be true. If you're not on top of things, you own some land, right? And you have a certain plot of land that maybe you've cleared. And you want to keep it clear. But if you're not on top of things and watching, it doesn't take very long and you start to lose a lot of ground, don't you? Those cottonwoods, man, they grow anywhere. In fact, we got some growing in our parking lot. And they don't need to be there. That needs to be a parking lot. But if you don't stay up on it, it doesn't take very long, does it? And you start to lose the ground that you've cleared. And it's the same in the Christian life. You may put some effort in at points and times in your life where you really get serious about wanting to serve God and you want to get serious about a relationship with God. And you start to put some effort in and you start to put some work into it. And things start to get cleared out of your life and you find some joy and you find some peace. And then later on, you start to take your ease. And just watch out, because it's not going to be too long. And all of a sudden, those things that you've cleared out start to grow back in. A hindrance to our worship is spiritual laziness. If we get lax and we get lazy in our spiritual life, we are sowing seeds of the world, and it's going to grow in and overtake the spiritual life, and it's going to dull the spiritual senses. I've known this to be true in my own life, and maybe you have as well. There have been times in my life where I am trying to walk with the Lord, and I'm putting effort into it, and I'm pursuing after God, and the truth of God is making a difference in my life, and I'm like, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. And then other times, it's not so keen in my mind. And the times that I'm the most spiritual, you know, you can hear things in the world like, you know, people could take the Lord's name in vain. And it just pierces your soul. You don't want to hear that. But the times that you're not so spiritually strong, it doesn't really bother you that much. You could hear it, but it doesn't have the same effect. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? It might just be a mark in your life that some thorns and some briars have grown in, and it's dulled the spiritual senses. How can you tell? How can you tell if there's some spiritual laziness? Well, one practical way would be to examine your life and see, is there a lack of interest in developing a walk with the Lord? Is walking with the Lord high on the priority list? Cultivating and developing that spiritual life and that relationship with the Lord? Or is it something that's just, I don't really think about it that much? If there's a lack of interest in developing a walk with the Lord, there might be some laziness. How about a lack of devotional time? Or a feeling like when you do have devotional time, you're just reading words on a page. And you're not really receiving help and strength. And you're maybe you're unable to concentrate and make real application of truth in your life. So many times people can't even stay focused long enough to understand what they're reading and then apply it. Here's the reason why. Spiritual life has grown over. Minds are filled with other things, and they're not practiced, and they're not exercised spiritually. See, it takes some work And if you ever felt like that, well, I'm just not really getting anything out of it. And I'm just reading words on a page, and I'm just doing it because I'm supposed to do it. There's something wrong. And it's not the Word of God's fault. It's our own. See, we've got to exercise our mind. And we have to cultivate this in our lives. It's not something that comes naturally. There have been times, and it just bothers me, in my own Christian life, when I kneel down to pray, and I want to talk to God, and I can't even stay focused long enough to hardly get a few sentences out. And my mind starts to drift on other things. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I have to work at it. And I would challenge you, folks, if this is sort of some of the things that go on in your life, I would challenge you, when you read your Bible in the morning or whenever you do it, and you have that time, don't leave that place until you get something from the Lord. Don't do it. To grow spiritually takes work. See, the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows whether you're serious about pursuing after Him or not. The Lord knows if it's in your heart to walk with Him. I had a man tell me recently that this verse, "Draw nigh unto the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you," has been ringing in his mind. Why? Because he's realized that maybe the Lord is just sitting there waiting to find out if he's really serious or not about drawing nigh, about getting close. I mean, the Lord is not our genie in a bottle that we can just rub it and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I want you to do some stuff for me. What are we going to do for Him? How close are we going to get to Him? Do we really pursue after Him? And when He sees that, He draws near. And there's spiritual growth that can occur. I want you to look at me, or look with me, to Proverbs. Actually, I want you, let's skip over that. I want you to look at Psalms, Psalm 42. We'll start there. Psalm 42. There are several verses here in the Psalms I just want to quickly look at. But it gives the heart of David. And he says in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Just like that deer needs water, and he's panting after it. He's been running, and he needs that water. He's panting after the water, so our souls ought to long for God. Look at Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." Do you long to see the power and glory of God in your life? If you want to see the power and glory of God in your life, guess what? You got to seek after Him. What does He say? "Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee." Look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 2. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Do you understand what that is like? Have you ever experienced that in your own life? Your heart and your soul crying out to know God. That's seeking after God, pursuing after Him. God, where are you? Be real to me. Show me your power, your glory. Work in my life. If that's really in the heart, guess what? You're not going to leave that place in the morning until you get something from the Lord. It's not going to be, okay, I read my chapter today. Oh, maybe didn't go right through the whole chapter. Maybe read my three verses today. All right, now what? I got my plan. Got to go to work. Got to do this. It's a big difference between that and meditating on the Word of God, feasting on the Word of God, the presence of God being real in your life. Look at Psalm 143, verse 6. Psalm 143, 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. As a thirsty land, Selah, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Here's a man who longs after the presence of God. Here's a man who desires to have a relationship with God. And he cries out for the Lord. Look, and let's look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. In the day, in the night, longing for a relationship with the Lord. See, the Lord knows if there's a passion in your heart for Him. He knows that. How do we remedy spiritual laziness? Well, it takes diligent, determined effort to change your life. It takes a lot of work to change your life. And it won't be easy. But it takes diligence to be obedient to biblical principle that is already known. For example, if the Bible says to have a clean and a pure mind, men, then it takes a lot of work to maintain and have a clean and a pure mind. And it takes some determination. I am not going to fail. By God's grace, I will have victory. And I'm going to obey the command of the Lord to have a clean and a pure mind. I'm not going to put myself in situations where my mind is filled up with junk. Many, 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 many times. If I'm watching television or something, commercials will come on. And there's a lot of stuff in commercials that I don't need to see. And many times, I turn my face away. I don't need to watch it. Why? Because I want a clean and a pure mind. I'm not perfect at this, but I know the biblical principle. And I'm trying. If the Bible says to put off the flesh and put on righteousness, then we need to put off the flesh and put on righteousness. I'm talking about diligence and determined effort to obey what we already know to be true. If the Bible says to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, then we need to obey the command to come out and be separate. See, it's not going to be easy to change your life. And I could go on and on and on. I don't have the time. I know some of you are tired. But the point is, the Lord knows if there's a passion in your heart for Him or not. He knows it. And He also knows if there's spiritual laziness. And if you're not growing, it's not because the Word of God is the problem. It just takes some work. Examine your life. Examine your heart. How's your relationship with the Lord? How's your devotional time with God? Is there any? Is it important? Spiritual laziness needs to be viewed as a thief. It steals away our ability to worship the Lord with your life. And each believer, look with me at Romans chapter 13 and I'm done. Romans 13. But each believer needs to heed this passage of Scripture right here. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Folks, the Lord is coming soon. I believe it. And the time is nearer than when we believed. And we need to be spiritually alert. We need to be spiritually strong, not lazy. Because if we're spiritually lazy, we're ineffective. Our spiritual senses are dulled and we're not going to be able to truly serve the Lord. The laziness needs to turn in to spiritual alertness. And this is a must if we're going to worship the Lord. We've got to dig into the work. We've got to dig into serving Christ, and you can't do that if the wall is broken down and the thorns and the thistles are grown over in the spiritual life. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about impatience as a hindrance to our worship unto the Lord. Getting ahead of God, not letting Him work. You know, we're prone to extremes, aren't we, as mortals, like a pendulum. Back and forth, back and forth. The Lord doesn't want extremes. He wants balance in Him. And sometimes we get impatient and we get ahead of God and we want to do this and we want to do that, but there's also times when we need to just sit and rest in the Lord and let Him accomplish His purpose. That goes hand in hand, actually, with spiritual alertness. It actually fits together quite well. And we'll talk about that next week if the Lord allows it. But hindrances to our worship. If there are things in our lives that are hindering us from being what we ought to be, we need to get them out. We need to get serious about walking with the Lord. Examine your own heart tonight and let the Lord have His way. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray for each one here. And Lord, there's always room to improve. Lord, I know that I want to please You. And I know that it's in my heart to do so. I also know that I'm not perfect at it. And Lord, I know there's room to improve. And so Lord, I pray that You'd help each one of us to have a passion in our heart, and a longing in our heart to walk with the Lord, to be more pleasing to You. Help us to understand the value of worship unto the Lord. Help us to understand the importance of the day that we live in, that it's high time to awake out of sleep. Lord, help us to be able to see eternal things. Maybe get a glimpse of the shame that we might experience one day when we stand before You, if our life is spiritual life is lazy and overgrown. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be willing and be determined. With determined effort, we're going to obey and we're going to walk with God and we're going to grow and we're going to let You use us and we're going to see the power and the majesty and the might of God. Bless each one. Father, keep us in Your care this week. Help us to be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight. I always enjoy the study of God's Word after a time of sting, there's always joy and peace. When we submit ourselves to the truth of God, and sometimes I'll study and the Lord will just be pricking my own heart. I say, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this is so good and so sweet to my taste. Sometimes we need to be stung just a little bit from God's Word to get us right back on track again. Amen? It's good. And praise the Lord that He does that. He cares enough to do that. Amen? Well, Lord bless you this week. And we'll see you on Sunday. Don't forget the men's meeting. Won't be long. We'll just talk about a couple of things and we'll be done. All right? Lord bless you. You are dismissed.